Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello. Thank you for being a part of Good Things Radio. Happy 2020. My name is Brooke Taylor, and this is a program dedicated to engaging our minds, hearts, and even our physical form to look up, to step up to the fullness of what God has in store. So today's show is checking in, a bit of a preview of what's to come as well, plus a special guest in studio. Mom is back on the program. Joan stopping by to offer a review of a new book by Father Don Calloway. And I received an early copy of the book, but I was simultaneously studying a few others. So Mom agreed to take this one off my hands, give it full attention. And I think it was providential. So we're going to hear what she has to say about it. Also, Fiat 90. Would you accept the challenge? Prayer, fasting, not just 40 days we're talking about, 90 days, 3 months of asceticism and accountability. So I guess first it would be good to reveal what that entails. So I will say this, if you've ever heard of Exodus 90, then you are in the know. But either way, we will get the full scoop because a few of our listeners accepted the challenge, actually just completed Fiat 90. One of them is our Arise Retreat team member, Vicky, a friend of the show. So I had a chance to interview her about the experience, and we'll get to that as well. So let's jump in. I think a good way to kick off the year, Mom, Joan is back in studio. How are you? How's the new year treating you?
It is exciting to begin not only a new year, but a new decade.
And just to tie it in a familial way, your mom and dad, my grandparents, would have celebrated their 100th wedding anniversary. So now I know that's on your radar because you're planning a big anniversary party. They're no longer here with us. So it's a heavenly party, I guess. But here, that's been on your radar.
It is. They were married at St. Mary's in Sandusky,
Ohio
on April 21st, 1920. So to revisit that, I have in my scrapbook the original newspaper description, everything about it. It is described with such loveliness that it is a treasure. That itself is a treasure to share.
We're blessed to have their marriage certificate framed, and in our dining room, we have a little ancestral photo wall. So that's a blessing, too. I know it's a big year. And for us, I wanted to share because I never had a chance to wrap up the show. I feel so bad, the season, because it was around Christmas, and then Carolina got sick. And I know, I think in my Instagram stories, I was talking about this. The consolation I have is so many of our listeners are in the exact same boat. So I didn't feel too bad because I know we're all busy and gearing up and focused on family. But this time right now is a time of hiatus for Good Things Radio. So the new season will be kicking off during Lent. And I'll explain more about that. I'll get to that at the end of the show and what you can expect coming up. But one thing I wanted to mention is something that we did that I hope, I pray, will set us up for success over the Christmas break. And that was something new. And it was writing, I wrote letters to each one of the kids in gym and just looking at the year in review. Because everything moves so fast. And I think especially for, in our case, you know, we have a large family and one child could have a great accomplishment. And then the next week, somebody else does something. And it's just a very fast pace, always moving forward. And so I wanted to just take a minute to look at the last year in review, ways that I saw them grow, encouraging their hearts by calling out accomplishments and not just academic or sports accomplishments, but specific ways that they overcame challenges or exercised mercy or virtue, perseverance. And something I thought would
take me like an evening to do, just a couple hours, ended up taking days. It was pretty in-depth, but it was really rewarding because it gave them something to reflect on. It gave me something to reflect on, a way to get to know my kids. So then what we did is on New Year's, we went to this cabin, which we've done the last few years. They opened the letters, we read them, and with those were questions for them to reflect on. What was something that I was really proud of last year? Where do I want to improve this year? And something that my 18-year-old Gabe or my almost 16-year-old Grant might set for himself is going to be much different than maybe what Gus, our 8-year-old, will do. And that's what's nice, is it's really catered to them. And I think it helps them at that age. I don't think they're in the habit of goal setting necessarily or looking back. So it's just an exercise in recollection, and it ended up being really fun. And so then together what we're doing is we make a weekly calendar, because I really couldn't find like a mission control family organization station that fit our needs. So we just went simple, and I'm customizing it every week where we see what everyone is doing, goals that we're working on and so forth. And then we also built in a family rosary night and adoration once a week. So we're being intentional. And during Lent, during Advent, we do those things a lot more. But in ordinary time, it isn't as habitual, especially, you know, you transition into different stages of the kids and they get older and they're on to different things, different seasons are busier. So it's been really good so far. And so that's kind of the scoop here in the midst of gearing up for what's ahead. And Mom, I'm excited that you're here on the show today because you brought the special book, talked about at the top of the show. I remember a couple of years ago, you went to a Magnificat conference. It's a women's ministry. You are the chair of Magnificat here where we live in Stark County. And so you went to a big conference in California. Father Donald Calloway was one of the speakers. So maybe you could give us a little introduction about who he is, what he talked about, because he's the author of this book that we're going to introduce. And it was funny because when I asked you this morning, you were like, oh, but his mother stole the show. So you have to give us the scoop about that too.
Well, even before the conference at a local parish, he was a guest speaker for an evening. And to hear his conversion of somebody who was a radically non-Christian, non-interested or had any intent at all of any type of spirituality, and his mom, the way that she prayed, and it was, the story was, I mean, you didn't know whether to laugh or cry. And then to see him, revisit him, and his mom also was on the, they were simultaneously, and they were supposed to share at different segments. However, he had trouble getting the microphone back from her, but we loved hearing her. It was so natural. And so that in itself was a delight.
So when I received an advance copy of this book, I thought of you because of that. I remember you coming back and just really being electrified by that. But so not just because it's Father Donald Calloway, and I know you're a big fan, but you're even a bigger fan of St. Joseph. In the name of the book, his new work is called Consecration to St. Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father. So it is combining both. And you have, I don't know if a lot of people know, during your time in the convent, you took the name of Sister Josina in honor of St. Joseph. So tell us maybe a little bit about your devotion to St. Joseph and then this book, because I know you started reading it.
My very special relationship with St. Joseph was there, and it would be there, something that I didn't think about. And then it was like this wonderful warmth of who he is and his own spirituality within the Holy Family. And then when I was trying to, then I had forgotten, and I had looked at my baptism certificate, and then it was like it came full circle. I had forgotten that was the day that I was baptized. So I believe that relationship.
The date was his feast day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I think God brought us together right then. March 19th, I wanted the May 1st, St. Joseph the Worker. That was the patron and the feast that I chose.
So yeah, this book then, it was perfect for, I think, a couple different reasons. I'm reading now on the back, there is an endorsement from Dr. Scott Hahn, and he says, this book is a marvel. It is a summary of the whole of the study of St. Joseph, the wisdom of the saints, the teachings of the popes, and the reflections of theologians. And yet it is readable and accessible to anyone, clergy or laity, men men or women, married or single, this book and Consecration to St. Joseph are gifts not only from Father Calloway, but from our Lord to get us through our current crisis and all the way home to heaven. Let us look to and learn from St. Joseph, the spiritual father of us all. And I'm looking at your bookmark. It looks like you're a quarter of the way, maybe more, almost halfway through. And you had called and left a couple Voxer messages reading excerpts, so I know you're enjoying it. Can you give us just a beginning review of your impression?
Well, I think in a way that I'm finding and would recommend, Father Calloway is giving very strong a foundation for what later he reveals in pictures, because I skimmed through it and I saw the pictures beyond what I had ever learned or heard about St. Joseph.
I didn't know that was possible.
And then he also in depth takes small segments. For instance, when was Joseph declared patron of the Universal Church? And then what I read last night, I was reading that part, and I see the fullness of he and Mary both, in Mary being mother of the church. And then he now is bringing to light in a way that you say, well, of course, it makes sense. It's not some abstract theory in some spiritual loftiness. And so I think the discovery, it's not just another book about St. Joseph.
Yeah, and what I love, anytime you can drop in and open a page and just be really inspired, I love that, because just paging through, he has St. Joseph under the different titles, Terror of the Demons, The Sleeping St. Joseph, Silent Witness, and then at the end, the back of the book, all sorts of different prayers, and then also an appendix of how to make the preparation consecration as a group. And now, if you've ever made a Marian consecration, it's, I'm assuming, the same idea.
It is. It is. And also in the back, he lists all the shrines around the world of St. Joseph. So it's pretty comprehensive.
High praises. Thank you, Mom.
In the morning, you sing over me, and I receive your mercy. Faithfulness is clear to see, it's constant every day.
So the calendar has flipped and we are now in 2020, which means the Arise Retreat is happening this year. It's exciting. And funny story, it was interesting. We had a social gathering, which we haven't done in about a year, with our ministry team. And we were talking about, inevitably, the conversation drifted back to retreat. We were catching up on our lives, prayer updates, life developments, but then also the retreat. And it was really kind of a fun, normally it's kind of business. We're in ministry business mode. This was different. It was fun. It was social. It was fellowship. And so a lot of fun ideas came out of that. And envisioning when we have the Arise Retreat, June 5th through the 7th at the Jesuit Retreat Center, and people coming in. And one of our ladies said, we have to make sure that no matter what we're doing, every single one of our team members are there and we're at the doors and we're greeting as a group every woman that comes in. And I just started laughing because I said, you know, the funny thing, as an introvert, I would rather honestly go to a retreat where there's no one there but an empty desk, which sounds terrible. I love people. I love sisters in Christ. And it just, I think, is a reflection of our personalities and, you know, how we are. And so we were joking and saying we should have two different hallways. One is the extrovert hallway, and they have like a party, you know, there's music and high fives. And then there's the introvert hallway, and there's just candles and soft hymns, and they can go quietly and silently to their room. And so, you know, it's those sorts of things, because you try so hard to custom make this event. And that's where I think we have to let go. Yes. And, you know, when you were talking about the consecration, it reminded me too, so often we carry things that weren't meant to be ours. And that's the beautiful thing about consecration, is we learn to give it up. We learn to give it to our Lord, our Lady, St. Joseph, the saints, and the same thing. So it's that balance between wanting to create the most perfect event, but also entrusting the Holy Spirit to fill in the blanks and to do all of that. But I wanted to let you know that we are planning a one-time one-day sale, which I will send details about, but it is within the next month. So I will say that if you're planning to go and you haven't purchased your ticket yet, I strongly recommend just getting in on the loop. And that just means signing up for the newsletter, and I'll be sending that out. You can also email me too. It's brooke@stgabrielmedia.com or feedback@goodthingsradio.com. We'll drop in the produced contact information right after this segment here. But again, that's coming up between now and the next month. It's a one-day, one-time only sale, but I wanted to let you know that. And also, just kind of going over the next couple months here, for Cleveland friends, AM 1260 The Rock radio station is having an open house on January 30th. And just so exciting, one of the developments of last year was that they picked up GTR. So the program airs every Wednesday on the Catholic radio station in Cleveland. So I'm going to be there for that open house, and including with that some giveaways. Our ladies will be there, some of our team members from the ministry, information about upcoming events, and that will be at 4 o'clock on January 30th. So please pop out. It would really be nice to have kind of a meetup and just to see you. So again, that's going to be at the station, the radio station, AM 1260 The Rock, which is in Cleveland. And I just, that's a glimpse of how busy this year is already shaping up to be. Two pilgrimages, traveling to New York for speaking, Canada, a lot of local places, and of course the retreat. Prayers, writing included in that. So just really humbly asking for your prayers, because this is a time of discernment, seeking the will of God, family first and always. But what else? How else is it possible to do other things, and also starting with some new endeavors as well? So I think for each one of us, that scripture, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, is our daily bread. It needs to be. The Eucharist, the sacraments. And it's interesting too, because I had a message from Christina, one of our friends of the show, dear friend of mine and ministry helper, and she was at Mass this morning. She said, I love what Father said. He said, we must continue to be surprised each day when we are open to the Lord, because you never know what a given day can be. So just that childlike sense of, yes, we have our plans, but also abandoning ourselves and greeting each day with wonder, not dread or fear, but wonder. And so, speaking of hearing from the Lord and being open, one of the ways that we can do that easier, I think, is by clearing away the idols in our life that get in the way of listening to the voice, following the will of God. And so enter in Fiat 90. I had a chance to talk to GTR listener and Arise Retreat member Vicky at the top of the show, just kind of giving you an introduction to what Fiat 90 is all about. If you know Exodus 90, you'll know Fiat 90. And if neither ring a bell, take a listen to this and see what you think. Here's Vicky.
So Father Dorr was the creator of Exodus 90, a program for men that involves prayer, asceticism, and accountability. And did you know there is a program? I know a lot of people have heard of Exodus 90, and a lot of men have done it. It's really spread with, I think, the strictness. And that is appealing. We need that. We have so many idols in our life, and this helps break that. But did you know there's one for women? Well, I did not until Vicky, who's with me, was sharing a little bit about it and actually doing it, modifying it for married women. So we'll get into that. But we just happened to be leaving a fantastic social evening talking about the Arise Retreat and getting together as a ministry group. And so you were kind enough to, from here to you getting in your police cruiser, stop for a minute and tell me about Fiat 90. So this is something you just finished, right?
Yes, we just finished it on the 11th of January.
So tell me first, how did you hear about it, and what is it? Is it like Exodus 90, but it's just for women? And if so, how is it different?
It is very similar to Exodus 90. It was created by three college girls at Benedictine College, and it is to build a sense of purpose, community, fasting, and to be really intentional with everything you do, how you spend your money, how you take care of yourself, how you eat, how you pray, and how you spend your free time.
So in a practical sense, it's 90 days of fasting from social media, taking inventory of what you spend. How does that break down?
It breaks down into a couple different categories. So the three different categories are mind, body, and spirit. And if an example of the mind is to be have a heroic minute. So you get up at the first alarm and you praise God as soon as you wake up in the morning. Another example is to be mindful of your spending. So no unnecessary purchases, no seconds at dinner time, to fast. So you're fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays, to not have caffeine, alcohol, sweets, for 90 days straight. And that was through Christmas and Thanksgiving and lots of family parties. We did modify it somewhat. So there was, part of it was a weekly confession, weekly holy hour, daily mass. As moms, as working moms, we all made the decision that we would make an effort to go to as many extra masses as we could, but not to hold ourselves to that standard and then feel like we're failing from day one because we weren't able to accomplish that.
So this is something a person can do alone or in a group. In this case, you did it as a small group?
Yes, we did it as a small group. We did it through the Voxer app because one lady is in Kentucky, one is in Idaho, and I'm in Ohio, and one is in Okinawa, Japan. So we would meet every couple weeks to pray the rosary together and talk, but daily we would check in on Voxer.
So you have the prayer component, which is the mass adoration, and you've got the fasting component. I know, did you mention that? No, because I know you were off social media for a while. It was only like you did check in sometimes, but what was the rule on that?
So we decided to put a timer on social media. So it was very, very limited television, very limited music, and to put a timer on social media. So I personally only went on sites that were ministry related or, you know, related to health and fitness because I belong to a health and fitness group that's mostly Catholic moms. So I limited my time to like 20 to 30 minutes a day period.
And now you're done.
Yeah.
The full 90 days. And what, looking back, do you feel like you've learned or gained graces you've received from that?
I have an alarm on my watch that's set for 3 o'clock to say the Memorare every day. And I don't know how to unprogram it, but that's okay because now that I've done it for 90 days, it's automatically, it's 3 o'clock, it's time to pray my Memorare. It's this time of day, it's time to pray my rosary. It's Wednesday, I go to Mass and Adoration every Wednesday morning, automatically now. So all these habits that have been formed because I feel like 30 days or even 60 days is okay, but the 90 days, it really sets in and it becomes a habit, a second nature. And that's what I was really craving, was that consistency in my prayer life.
Yeah, because you think it's like a double Lent, then some, you know,
yeah,
in terms of length of time. What was the hardest part about it?
Probably the first week of the no pop, no sweets, no caffeine, no alcohol. That was a little tough physically because my body was just getting used to it. But then after I got used to it, I have no craving for pretty much any of it, which is great.
Yeah.
That's just a whole health change.
I know the Exodus 90 has a cold showers component. It's like legendary. Did you guys do that or no?
That is not part. Thankfully, that is not part of the Fiat 90.
Well, it's interesting because there's the Wim Hof, maybe I'm saying that wrong, method of controlling cold and combating hypothermia, and it's like a big Wim Hof, that's what it is. It's a big trend right now. And as the new year turned, I was looking at different health fitness experts, and one of them was saying physically, neurologically, helping with your sleep, helping with your mental acuity, it's so good to have a cold shower or immerse yourself like in a cold bath once a week. And so I did try it one time, but I do think, and you know, some people like for health reasons or something, they can't, but I do think that we shouldn't be afraid of these things. I know though that we learn so much about this experience when we, whether it's fasting or adding extra prayers or devotions when we put it in. So I guess that's kind of the final conclusion for you. What's the biggest point? What's the biggest point of edification? Where did you feel like you grew in holiness And if so, how? Was it just building in more silence in your day? Was it realizing like how much noise is around you, or feeling a deeper connection to our Lord?
I think the biggest thing that I took away from it was learning how to be intentional. And one of the hardest things for me was not multitasking, because that was one of the key components, because I'm always multitasking. I'm doing the dishes while I'm talking on the phone, and I'm driving while I'm doing this. And I had to force myself to just do this and be present in the moment. And that was probably the hugest takeaway, because that influenced everything in my life.
That's good. We need that. And do you have a website? Do you know the resource people can go to?
Is there one? If you Google Fiat 90, you can find the document that's published, and the document explains the background, the reasoning behind it, and all the components of it. And there's no charge to do it. I do know that there have been, just from our little group of four, there have been 3 Fiat 90 groups that have started because people have asked us what we're doing. And when we explain it, they're like, oh, that's really cool. How do we start it? And then they've started because of that. So
that's great. I'll link it up in the show notes too. So that's one easy way. All right. Thank you.
Thank you again to Vicki. An invitation and a challenge. That does not sound easy, but beautiful. So I will link up the information in the show notes. I think especially as we begin to get towards Lent, that would be great preparation as well. And as we wrap up, I just want to let you know what's ahead for the show. This is a time right now actually of hiatus. I didn't get a chance to conclude the season at the end of December. So just wanted to pop on and say hello and thank you, and so grateful for your support. And humbly again, just asking for your prayers for God's will, God's direction, to let God lead, and also preparing for the Holy Land. So that pilgrimage is coming up, which is exciting because the new episode, brand new season of GTR will come to you from Israel, which is super special because the aim is to bring you on a mental pilgrimage as we start the journey to the cross on Ash Wednesday and our group being there in the Holy Land. And so we want to bring you some audio, bring you part of that experience to join us and enfold you in that as well. So stay tuned. God bless you, friends. St. Joseph, pray for us. Do you want to take us out with a prayer, Mom? I feel bad. You've just been sitting there and nodding and smiling.
Certainly. Oh, Father God, we are in joyful gladness this day. And I love periodically within the different prayers of the Mass where it will say eternal gladness or everlasting gladness. And Lord, we are your children. We are delighted and so grateful. Our hearts are grateful in a way that we recognize some days more than others of your personal care for us, in a way that you want us to have joy. You want us to trust in you and not worry. And it is our hope by your grace and your mercy that we will continue to strive to do that. We pray and depend on the prayers of the Holy Family for us individually and for our loved ones. We ask and trust all in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, friends. Until next time, peace and love.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more, or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Coming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cominghomestudio.com.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. experience coffee like never before.